welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Tonight I want to share a message which God laid on my heart. It was as a church. And we touched so on it during worship. Because it's about sin, this message. But more than it's about sin, it's about the blood of Christ, which overcame it and equips us to overcome sin in our lives as well. So I'm going to talk about grace, excuse me, and truth. And yes, the difference between it and how it should be balanced in our lives. Because Jesus is not just grace or just truth. He is the perfect balance of grace and truth. So let's pray before we go into this. Thank you, Lord, for your word, which is the ultimate truth above anything we've seen or experienced, Lord. And thank you for your word tonight, Lord. And I pray that it will fall on every heart, God, and spring forth and bear fruit. So tonight we will be doers of your word as we go out to you, Lord. And it will truly change our lives, God, that we will not be the same walking out these doors as we were walking in. God, you do not want us to be the same. So change us, Lord. Make us brave enough to change, or make us obedient enough to change to be more like you, Jesus. Help us to be more like you. So Holy Spirit, you are so welcome. Come have your way. Lord, flow through every person, in every person. And come and show us what you want to show us through the word to each one of us individually and as a church tonight. In the name of Jesus, amen. I'm going to start off talking about grace tonight and not spend too much time on it, but we all know grace, it is through grace we have been saved. That we deserve Jesus coming, dying for us on the cross, being resurrected, his blood being poured out, so that we can be set free from sin, set free from eternal damnation. No, we didn't. And that's why they call it grace. Because as we read the word, that it's through grace we have been saved. And through Jesus dying on the cross, he became the medium for us to be reconciled again with God the Father. Sin brought a chasm between us, and Jesus came to be the bridge between us and the Father. So we have complete and full access to him. Through forgiveness of our sins, through his blood, and through his life. So thank Jesus that he came and brought back just that wide open door for us to be reconciled with our dad. And by giving us that opportunity, I want to read us a portion of scripture out of 1 Peter 1. Born again to a living hope. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. I'm sure some of us can relate to that. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes through it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. God is giving us a hope through the resurrection to life, to a reward, to glory that is imperishable, unfading, that is everlasting. Through his grace, he's given this to us freely. Through Jesus' death, we are made alive. And through tonight's message, I hope you will hear things which you are hearing probably for the 100th time tonight. I'm sure that's going to be the case. But you know what? God tonight wants to bring us just back to a focus which I know I've lost. And I'm sure that there will be one of two or three of you here tonight that maybe the same has happened to you. And God's heart tonight is for us to walk in the complete freedom which Jesus came and died for. Otherwise, the cross was in vain. And as we just read, that if necessary, some of us, you have been grieved by various trials. You know, God tests us. He tested Abraham. He tested Moses. But through them passing the test, you know what? He could trust them more. He gave them their inheritance. He made Abraham the father of many instead of just the father of Isaac. And God could trust them more and He could call them friends. With them passing the test, He has laid out before them. You know what? Maybe this will be a surprise to you, but God is testing us as well. He makes us go through difficult stuff. Is it because He's a bully? Definitely not. But He's doing it because He wants to give us more of Himself. He's doing it because He wants us to see who we are. He's not testing us to come to the conclusion or to... He's not baffled by why we're doing what we're doing. He knows what the state of our hearts are. He's testing us so the state of our heart is revealed to us, to ourselves, so that we can make the necessary changes. So I'm sure many of you can relate. Yes, I've gone through difficult things. But you know what? God is good. And He's doing those things so that His name will be glorified even more so through our lives. And above an imperishable and fading glorious reward we will receive one day. Even above that, what is our reward? It's the presence of God. It's the fact that we can know Him. So do we know God? What is it we are living for, fighting for, getting up for every single day? Is it for the first priority of getting to know God more and more intimately? I'm sure the answer is yes. And tonight, I'm trusting God that He will just make us more effective in doing that. So instead of it being a dead work in a sin, it will be an eternal reward of really knowing Him intimately. I want to share with us two stories out of the book of John. First story is Jesus healing a man sitting at the pool of Bethesda. So he's sitting there with his bed type thing. I don't know exactly what it looked like, but they were sitting there believing this pool could heal them. That's because they would stir the pool and then they would walk into it and then, you know, they would be healed or feel better or whatever. And Jesus approaches God and said, "Do you want to be healed?" And he said, "Yes, but as soon as they stir it, you know, someone else goes down before me, so I never get the chance to go down." And Jesus says, "Get up, take your bed, and walk." So Jesus heals this guy instantly by just saying, "Get up, take your bed, and walk." And then this all happened on the Sabbath. Which in those days, you know, the priests, believe you're not allowed to do any works, you know, any wonders or signs on, because it's a day of rest for them. So the priest saw this guy taking his bed and walking and said, "What are you doing? It's the Sabbath. Who taught you to do this?" And then Jesus disappeared in the crowd. and he didn't know who it was, so he couldn't tell them. And then later, Jesus meets with the guy again, and we read that in John chapter 5, verse 14. "Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, 'See, you are well. Sin no more that nothing worse may happen to you.'" Okay, apart from the fact that this is where persecution towards Jesus started with him, doing signs and wonders on the Sabbath, and then saying, you know, "But it's what my Father's doing," and we all know that conflict. I'm not going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about Jesus standing this guy, "See, you are well." So Jesus healed him. Has Jesus healed any one of us sitting in this church tonight? He has healed me before. Hallelujah. For everyone, Jesus has healed. And he tells them to sin no more. Okay. I'm going to go to the second story. The woman taken in the act of adultery. Jesus was chilling outside. He was with his finger just scribbling some things in the dirt. And then a bunch of guys came, bringing this woman toward him, who was an adulterer. And according to the law of Moses, So they had this right to do this. They had the right to stone her, okay? So these guys wanting to test Jesus, they said, okay, Lord, oh, Jesus, what should we do with this lady? And he said the following, John chapter 8. And as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. And once more he bent down and wrote on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away, one by one, beginning with the older ones. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus stood up and said to her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? And she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more. Okay? So Jesus forgave this woman, didn't judge her, forgave her of a sin of being an adulterer, and taught her to sin no more. Who is Jesus forgiven in this room? He's forgiven me for, oh, every day he forgives me. So, us as church, or us, let's talk more directly, us sitting in this building, if we have been healed by Jesus, we have been forgiven by Jesus, who has stopped sinning? Okay. Hallelujah. Okay, we're going to worship again, man. As Jesus forgives us and heals us, what is his expectation? His expectation is for us to stop sinning. His expectation is for us to repent. And what does repent mean? You turn around from the path you were walking on. This is a path of sin, and I'm walking to the path of not sinning anymore. And that is what he expects of us. Okay? Jesus came to abolish the law. There's no one going to correct me. Jesus came to fulfill the law. Okay? Not to abolish the law. And he said the law can be summed up in one word. Who knows what that word is? Read in Galatians, you should love your neighbor as you love yourself. Okay? You can read it if you do not believe me. Galatians 5:14. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. God calls us not only to holiness, but to live in love as well. And let's just pause here for a while. Now, I've been talking about grace the whole time. Okay? Now, we're going to move a little bit more to the truth side. But just before we go there, God calls us to live in love towards one another. How much? So that we would love one another. I would love Gareth. I would love Mike. Even as I love myself. Do I do that? No. Okay? I do not do that. Is that my focus every day to do? No. It is not my focus to do that every day. Should it be my focus every day? Yes. Did Jesus come to fulfill the law? Yes. What is the fulfillment of the law? So that we love one another as we love ourselves. And, you know, just to, we can really sit about it. We've heard it. I've heard it since Katkasasi. Sunday school, for those who don't know what Katkasasi is. And, you know, I really do not get it right. But you know what? I won't get it right because I can't remember before the Holy Spirit came to convict me about this. I can't remember when last it was a focus of mine. I don't know when last anyone focused to do this in a day. Okay, now we're going to get to the truth. And I hope you guys are holding on to your seats because we were busy with grace. Hebrews 10. From verse 26, for if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, let's pause here. We have only received the knowledge of the truth. We have all been saved. We all know Jesus. Okay? Let's just clarify that. There no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much more, how much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, and again the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Shoot. Okay. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. For those who deliberately sin after coming to the knowledge of the truth. I'll be the first one to publicly declare I have deliberately sinned after hearing and coming to the knowledge of the truth. Okay? It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Without fear, without fearing God, it is impossible to stop sinning. Without fearing God, it is impossible to know him. If we think the Lord is dankie liewe Jesus vir my nuwe daggie. No, I'm not dissing anyone up. I'm not saying Jesus is not loving. He is love. But if we look at what happened when God revealed himself, you know, he lit mountains on fire and he shook mountains. He's glorious, okay? And God should be feared. So if we do not fear God, we do not even know him. Because the word says, fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom and understanding. So we do not even understand or are wise at all without fearing God. This is the truth. And I'm sharing this in love and as graciously as I can. And I hope you guys understand my heart behind it, but it's not my heart, it's God's heart, okay? And so we are sitting with this, in this situation. We know the truth. We have been forgiven. We have been healed. We've been set free. We are still sinning, okay? And we are not sure if we are fearing God or not. So we are, if you agree with me, we're in kind of a situation. Who agrees with me tonight? Thank you, Jesus. In saying, go and sin no more, Jesus was not speaking of sinless perfection. Okay, Jesus does not expect, okay, thank you, Lord, you are my God and Savior. Okay, amen, now you're this perfect. No. And it's not Jesus' expectation. But it should be an expectation of ours to stop sinning and to stop doing it deliberately. Is sin forced into our lives? Definitely not. Why do we sin? Because we choose to sin. Okay, if we chose Jesus as our Lord and Savior, if we have a thought of the Holy Spirit, and especially if we are baptized, you know what, the devil has no authority over us. We sin because we choose to sin every single day, 300 times, church. We choose it. Okay? And he's warning us against to return to a sinful lifestyle. But his words both extends mercy, but it also demands holiness. You know, God is holy. He's righteous. Is it in the presence of sin? No, it's not. Jesus is the perfect balance of grace and truth. With forgiveness comes the expectation that we will not continue on the same path of rebelliousness. Because those who know God will naturally want to obey him. That's why if we know God, if we really know him, we will fear him. And if we fear God, we will definitely not be sinning because we will fear the judgment that is to come. Does it mean if we are not killed instantly like Ananias and Sapphira in the church, there's no judgment? No, it just means judgment will come. Jesus will judge us. When we turn to Christ and receive his forgiveness, we experience a heart change. Forgiveness is not cheap. And it certainly does not excuse the sin that separated us from God. It costed God everything. It costed him his son so that we can be forgiven, so that we are forgiven. It costed God everything. So shall we continue to sin with the expectation that grace should increase? I hope not. But I think subconsciously or just without thinking, that is what's happening. We're expecting grace just to cover us every single day, covering our sin. You know what grace it does? The grace of God is sufficient. But if we expect it to keep covering our sins because we are planning to sin again tomorrow or tonight, there's something wrong with our hearts, and we are certainly just so disobeying Jesus' expectation of us to sin no more. And I want to share this awesome testimony. We were in Nepal just a while ago. So three and a half weeks ago, and just this thing of holiness, of meeting Christ, okay? So we were walking in this village. God led us to this random house. It was the house of a teacher. Again, this whole village, there's never been any outside people. So where we walk around, people look at us as if we are aliens, literally. It's such a privilege because we see this primitive places. Like no outside people have been there. Can you just imagine how cool it is to be used by Jesus? But anyway, we come to this house. There's loads and loads of kids. We see two women there. We see some old people just sitting there. But there's just this depressive atmosphere. And we ask if the man of the house is there. And they say yes. And they go like upstairs. He was waiting in the upper room. And we can hear this guy really doesn't want to come down. But eventually he does. And we start talking with him, conversing, and this is a real intellectual guy as a teacher, and he said, you know, in some history book, he's read about Jesus. I was like, yes, this is an open door that you do not actually really get it in a place like that, with someone reading, first of all reading, and then reading about Jesus, so it's awesome. And then, you know, after about 20 minutes, 25 minutes of speaking with him, he's like not interested in receiving Christ at all, and then right at that moment, God said, this guy today is going to receive me because this is what I want to do. And God starts to show this amazing vision. I'm like, okay, we are not leaving. So he shared testimony. I start chatting with this guy. About another 20 minutes or so passes. And he makes a decision to accept Christ. But he grabs his wife. And he has this, like, massive lacerations and stuff on his leg. And him and his wife, on the exact same spot, like they, I don't know what's wrong, but they like really sore legs and knees and stuff, and he has some other pains. Let me just catch my breath. So then, I'm really excited. This is such a cool story. And we start praying for this guy and his wife, and we do this sinner prayer, and as they say, amen, after receiving Christ, you can just see, you know, this guy, because they're moving around and stuff. I'm like, this is they want to run away now. But this guy's like, we're healed. Like, the pain in him and his wife, the pain has left their bodies. Like, all the pain, they get filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? And so, yeah, they are saved. Yeah, they receive the Holy Spirit. And as we know, salvation consists of some parts of repentance and all these things. And yeah, this guy all of a sudden is, you know what? And now we're working through the translator. So this is quite interesting. And he says, you know what, I have two wives. God just showed me it is wrong. So he starts repenting. He brings all his sin into the light, you know, just sharing everything. I'm like, yes, yeah, that is awesome. Like, you know, you don't really listen to what he's saying, but you're just like, repent, oh, repent. And why is this happening? Because he has an encounter with Christ. What is his response? He's filthy. He's a sinner. And he wants to get rid of his rags, of his sin, because he wants more of Christ and he wants to move closer to Christ. And how can we move closer to Christ? It's by sanctifying ourselves. It's by repenting. It's by becoming more holy. So yeah, this guy, he's moving closer and closer to God, right in front of our eyes, like in a salvation event I've never seen before. Like usually, you know, we get saved and it's awesome. And I think you maybe say a swear word of how awesome it is for you in that moment. But, you know, not this guy. He starts repenting of everything. He's like, yes, the Lord shows me two wives is wrong. I'm like, yes, hallelujah, was your fro. Where is your other wife? Let's pray for her as well, but I didn't see her. And then we had the most amazing tea after that. It was really good. You know what, after his repentance, and after you can just see Christ totally blowing this new life into their lives. You know, it's just like, you know, God just said we have to go back to the evening, but I haven't said this to him. So I'm like, yes, we need to, you know, pray for the other teachers as well. He's like, yes, he starts phoning them. His colleagues need to be saved as well. And I'm like, yes, hallelujah, hallelujah. So we leave with this plan to return. And you know, God has done all this other amazing stuff. I might as well share. So before we go, God said, before we go to this guy's house again, let's go to the school because he lives across the school. And you know, this is the first school we've seen there. And it's really a scarce thing in those villages. So this is a big school where all the surrounding villages' children go there. So there's 700 kids attending the school, okay? And that's massive for them. It's massive, okay? And so God says, okay, anoint all the doorposts, anoint the school, and you know, just start praying. And me and our friend we have there, we are standing in the middle of the school grounds. The team is going there, anointing all the classrooms. And as they're doing it, God just shows he's gonna bring the growth like immediately, and he's gonna make the anointing spread. I'm like, okay, you know, let's do it. But just like, you know, not really having a reference. And then the whole team got together, standing now in a circle in the middle of the school. And as we start praying, man, it's monsoon season as well. So it started raining, like, like, it started raining, crazy. So God just shows how he's making the oil from the boardings flow down, spreading through the ground. And it's already just making the anointing flow and preparing the ground and consecrating the school to be a barracks of Christians being raised up and being sent out into the villages. Isn't that amazing? Yes, thank you, Jesus. And then, being drenched, we go to the teacher's house again, being welcomed with a feast of food. Now this guy's a Christian, so he's blessing us with food. Crazy. So we eat, and then, you know, to order of business, we go sit on the stupi again. And I'm thinking, mate, okay, let's take another half an hour to an hour for this teacher to get saved. So we sit and just, you know, with the introduction, and I'm like, okay, so you've heard about Jesus. He's like, no, but I want Jesus. Let's pray. I want Jesus. I'm like, yes, hallelujah. So we pray, she gets healed, she accepts Jesus. And, you know, just this amazing moment where God just showed this prophecy for the school and we could share it with them, and they just buy in 100% with what they need to do as teachers and the way forward. We give them a Bible. We teach them, you know, this is the Bible. This is Old Testament, New Testament. This is how you read it. Tell them to start with the Gospels, obviously, to know, get to know Jesus. And they said they're going to start a Bible study, these two teachers together. And, you know, we have this plan going forward. But it's the backtrack. This guy repenting his sins, coming to the presence of God. Because God is holy. Okay? Hallelujah. So how do we stop sinning? The Holy Spirit has already broken the power of sin over our lives. So we've established we sin because we choose to sin. Okay? We are baptized into the kingdom of righteousness and holiness. And we now live to please God. That is why we live. It is no longer I who live, but Christ in me. Hope of glory. So we live to please God. We live for Him. And that is why we need to constantly, there's this constant thing, and Paul speaks about it as well, it's this constant thing of warring against our flesh. Because now our spirits are made alive, as we said, we should no longer relate to one another in the flesh, but in the spirit. But we still have flesh. So we need this constant war with ourselves and our habits. I think the biggest problem with our sin is we've gone into a habit of sinning, so that needs to be broken. We need to consecrate and separate ourselves unto Christ. I want to end off with this portion of scripture out of 1 Peter 1, verse 13, called to be holy. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded. I want to pause there. So how do we stop sinning? Yes, we are warring against our flesh. Okay? Jesus' expectation is for us to stop sinning, to sin no more. So how do we get this right? We've been given the tools to stop sinning, so it's not like we need to pray for him to give us a tool. We've received the Holy Spirit. Okay? Preparing your minds for action. And be sober-minded. You know, we read in Romans that we need to be transformed through a constant renewing of our minds. Who's read that scripture before? Who's read that scripture in the last while? Okay. God wants to bring us back to that. God wants to remind us, you know, as we receive Christ and as we really pursue Him with everything after that first week or 2 weeks, and when He's done something major in our lives, then we're like, yes, we're just pro-Christ. We think about Christ the whole time. We seek first His kingdom, and all these other things are added unto us without worrying about them. God is reminding us of this tonight, church. He's reminding us to keep our minds sober and to prepare our minds. To prepare our minds for what? For action. Are we ready for action without meditating on Christ? No. How many times do we enter a situation where now we need to pray for healing, and then all of a sudden we stand in front of the person, we're like, yes, these are my sins, but please, Lord, just come through. Just, Lord, come through. Yes, and then we pray for this guy or lady. We should be ready for action. Prepare your minds for action. If you get out of bed, prepare yourself, because you do not know as soon as you enter your house, you know, action can be required of you. And then it's not this thing of striving to make yourself ready. Because we're already through the Spirit, but let's just be constantly thinking of Christ. And as we're worshiping now, we're just thinking of something very practical. How about if we set our cell phone alarms for, let's make it every 5 minutes, every 1 minute, and when the reminder goes off, we will just, as whatever we are busy with, just say Jesus or think about Jesus. And then I think we will quickly realize what we are occupying our thoughts with. It's not Jesus. It's not His kingdom. It's not His righteousness. It's not holiness. It's not pursuing His presence. It's stuff. Did God call us to meditate on stuff? No. Seek first the kingdom of God. And isn't this such a great practical way to do it? Let's set our reminders. Let's do it for every 1 minute. And I can guarantee you, every minute is going to come and you're going to find yourself not thinking of God's kingdom and His righteousness. We need to train our bodies, our flesh, to be possessed with the Holy Spirit, to be possessed with Christ and His kingdom. Because if we're not going to do that, we're going to continue sinning. And then we have to read Hebrews 10 again. And then we just feel condemned again. And then we sit in a hut again and we just miss God. So tonight it's not supposed to be heavy on us. The truth is the truth. Okay? How are we going to implement this? If we walk out this door, we need to get this right. Otherwise, you could have done something else tonight. Okay? Church, I love all of you. And Christ does as well, but He wants. Let's just think about judgment. You can't say, oh, but you know what, Jesus, Jesus' blood and genade is groot genoeg. There is no judgment. It's just, no, there is judgment. Okay, I'm going to say it in that way. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it's written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Okay? And if you call on Him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. There's no other way for me to say this, but if we keep on sinning, we are trampling on Jesus, we're trampling on His blood, we're trampling on the cross. Because the cross was sufficient for us to stop sinning, to change from our futile ways, to pursue holiness and to pursue righteousness. And you know, that is the truth. Grace part is God is showing us that tonight, and I'm sure you've showed us this before. Tonight, let's renew our minds on Christ. Let's press the reset button. And as the computer boots up again, let it be the kingdom and his righteousness and only Jesus. I'm not called to meditate on all these other things. The word is so clear. The word is truth. All these things, all this stuff, all this worries, all this money, all these jobs, all these relationships will be added onto you. It's not some of it. It's all of it, church. So let's focus on one thing, Christ, and his kingdom and his righteousness. Okay? And I want the band, Tian, you guys can come to the front, please. And they're going to start worshiping. And as we worship tonight, we're just going to respond to Christ. And for me, my correct response is I need to repent tonight. Because I've sinned so much since Jesus forgiving me and healing me. And I've trampled on the cross. I've trampled on Jesus' blood. You know, and it's not something you said light. It is hectic. So tonight, if you are with me and you feel like, yes, you need to just renew your minds again on things from above, I want you to stand with me if you want to do that. I'm going to pray with us. And then I want us to set our reminders on our cell phones. Because the first thing that's going to happen out here, as we leave that door, you know what's going to happen? Life is going to happen. It's going to suck us right back into the fleshly things. And did God call us to be, did he call us out of this world? No. He called us so that we would be consecrated and separated while being in it. And the only way to do it is to have our minds be soberly thinking in his kingdom and his righteousness and to be ready for action. So church, let's be ready for action. And let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you again for your cross and your blood, which was sufficient for all of our sins, which has given us all authority and all power to live sinless lives. Lord, we know that you do not expect us to be perfect in an instant, Lord, but you expect us to change our ways. You expect us to repent and to walk into the direction of authority, of holiness and righteousness. And tonight, Lord, we repent as a church for saying that we've deliberately sinned after knowing the truth. Lord, we've deliberately sinned. Tonight, we pray again, Lord, let your blood cover us. But help us, Holy Spirit, to be consciously, sober-mindedly focused on you, your kingdom, your righteousness, Lord. And if you want us to set a reminder on our phones, guide us in doing that as well, Lord, because we want to get practical about this because we want to get it right. And Lord, we want to be so present where you are. We don't want to have quiet time and pray or even worship in a state of just it's default for us. God, we want to be present. We want to actually know what we are singing to you. Let our minds be so present and focused on you. Lord, you say, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The word is truth, and tonight we claim the truth in our lives. We know it's not about the stuff, it's about your kingdom, God. We want to see your kingdom made manifest in our lives and through our lives. So Lord, come and flush out our thoughts, our minds, and replace it with who you are right now. As we worship, Lord, come and reveal yourself so that we can respond to who you are. Lord, we've missed you, Lord, so we want to respond to who you are, to the image of who you are, Lord. And so we pray, Lord, reveal yourself so that we can correctly respond and fear you. We want to be called your friends. We want to know you intimately. And we know you want to call us friends as well, God. So take us deeper as you lead us to to die, to lay down our lives, to become holy, for you are holy. So let's respond in worship tonight, church.
For listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria. There is